commentaries on the four last books of Moses, arranged in the form of a harmony. Volume 4 by John Calvin. Numbers 12, verses 9 to 15. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. The expostulation is succeeded by punishment. God's departure was a sign of immediate condemnation. Because there was no need of any further questioning as concerning some matter of obscurity. After God, then, had convicted them of their sin, and had inveighed in a severe and stern reprehension against the ingratitude of Miriam and Aaron, he first pronounced their sentence and then suddenly withdrew. What follows, that the cloud departed, is added in explanation, for God, who fills all things, never moves from his place, but his name is applied metaphorically to the cloud, which was the symbol of his absence or presence. The nature of the punishment which was inflicted upon Miriam was very appropriate to the offense. The foolish woman, puffed up with pride, had coveted more than was lawful, and her ignominy was the just reward of her arrogance. According to the declaration of Christ, every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. Luke 18:14. Let us understand, then, that in proportion as the proud are led away by their ambition to long for unlawful honors, they bring upon themselves nothing but disgrace. And although they may gloriously triumph for a season, still, it cannot be but that their glory will at length be turned into disgrace. For inasmuch as all who exalt themselves wage war with God, he must needs encounter them with the awful power of his hand in order to restrain their madness. Now, whosoever are moved by envy to enter into contention with his servants, endeavor, as far as in them lies, to overthrow his glory by obscuring the gifts of the Spirit. No wonder, then, that God should avenge the insult offered to himself, and should repay them with the infamy they deserve. As it is written, Them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. 1 Samuel 2:30. Miriam desired to be equal with her brother, whom God had exalted above all others. What she attains is that she should not occupy the extremest corner of the people, but be cut off from companionship with mankind. A similar instance occurred in the case of King Uzziah, who, not contented with the royal dignity, when he had unlawfully attempted to make an incense offering, was also smitten with leprosy, so as to be no longer suffered to continue in association even with the common people. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 to 21. Here, however, the question arises, why, when Aaron precipitated in the guilt, he was exempted from the punishment? If no reason existed, still we should have to adore the judgment of God. For it is not our business to complain when he has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Nevertheless, it appears probable that God's wrath was more exceedingly kindled against Miriam, because she had applied the torch to the ungodly contention, and had inflamed her brother's mind, as we see at the beginning of the chapter. It was just, then, that the blame should rest on her, since she had been the origin of the evil. I imagine, however, that in sparing Aaron he had regard to the priesthood, inasmuch as in his person it would have been subjected almost to eternal disgrace. Since, therefore, Aaron was an image of God's only begotten Son and our only mediator, and this great dignity had recently had its commencement in him, it was of exceeding importance that he should be exempted from such infamy, lest any diminution of the reverence due to religion should arise. Verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord! Although Aaron was aware that, through God's indulgence, his own punishment was remitted, still he does not cease to consider what he had deserved. For we ought not to wait until God smites ourselves, but since, in chastising others, he invites us to repentance, although he may spare ourselves, we should profit betimes by their punishments. The disfigurement, therefore, of his sister alarmed and terrified Aaron, so that, in examining his own condition, he acknowledged himself to be deserving of a similar judgment. His humble prayer manifests that those high aspirations were subdued, which had carried him away into unholy jealousy. Moses, who was younger than himself, and whose superiority he just before could not endure, he now calls his Lord, and confesses himself to be subject to his authority and power. Thus, the dread of punishment was the best medicine to cure his disease of ambition. In beseeching Moses not to impute his sin to him, he does not usurp for mortal man a right which God by Isaiah claims for himself alone. But inasmuch as Moses had been injured, he asks his pardon, lest by his accusation he should be brought before the divine tribunal. Where he confesses his own and his sister's foolishness, he does not extenuate the grossness of his crime, as most people do, when they generally seek to cover their transgressions under the plea of error or thoughtlessness. But it is precisely as if he had said that they were senseless and out of their minds, as we gather from the next clause, in which he plainly acknowledges their criminality. By the comparison which he introduces, it is evident that the leprosy of Miriam was of no ordinary kind, for nothing can be more disgusting than the dead body of any abortive fetus, corrupt with purulence and decay. Verse 13. And Moses cried unto the Lord. The event now proves what was recently asserted, that Moses was of a meek and gentle disposition beyond all other men. For he is not only ready at once to forgive, but also intercedes with God for them. And thus the presumption of Miriam is best reproved, for the only hope of safety that remains to her is in the dignity of Moses, which of late she could not endure. From the reply of God, it is manifest that the punishment which she alone had received was intended for the instruction of all. The pride and temerity of Miriam were sufficiently chastised, but God wished it to be a lesson for all, that everyone should confine himself to his own bounds. Meanwhile, let us learn from this passage to pay due honor to the judgments of God, so that they may suffice us as the rule of supreme equity. For if such power over their children is accorded to earthly parents, as that they may put them to shame at their will, how much more reverence is due to our heavenly Father when he brands us with any mark of disgrace? This was the reason why Miriam was shut out for 7 days. Not only that she might mourn apart by herself, but also that her chastisement might be profitable to all. It is likewise addressed to us that we may learn to blush whensoever God is angry with our sins, and thus that shame may produce in us a dislike of sin. This special example afterwards passed into a law, as we have already seen, Deuteronomy 24, verse 9. For when God commands lepers to be separated, he recalls to the recollection of the people what he had appointed with respect to Miriam, lest, if internal impurity be cherished, its infection may spread beyond ourselves. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com for more audio resources, and where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things Reformed.